Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast or a computer with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK Japan, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, Spanish National Radio, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We'll begin with NHK World Radio Japan. A nuclear power plant in western Japan is having some serious problems. The U.S. Navy has sailed a warship through Chinese-claimed waters in the South China Sea and added military drones to patrol from Guam. As of Thursday morning, 170 people had died from the coronavirus. Chinese scientists say it may have originated in bats. In Australia, scientists believe that they may be on the way to developing a vaccine, and evacuated citizens will be held in a 2-week quarantine. The British government has decided to continue to use Huawei components in their 5G network, despite pressure from the United States. NHK Japan.
The operator of the Ikata nuclear power plant in western Japan says it will place top priority on determining what caused the series of serious problems at the plant. Shikoku Electric Power Company President Keisuke Nagai apologized to Ehime Governor Tokihiro Nakamura for the problems on Monday. On Saturday, all 3 reactors at the plant briefly lost power while one of them was being inspected. And earlier this month, a control rod was mistakenly removed from the number 3 reactor. The rod suppresses nuclear fission. Nakamura told Nagai that local residents' concerns and distrust of Shikoku Electric have risen to unprecedented levels. He said he wants the firm to understand the tough situation it's in. The governor called on the utility to station the head of its nuclear power department in Ikata town and to continue to take thorough measures to make information public. Nagai agreed and said he would visit the plant himself to hold discussions with small groups of staff to raise their safety awareness levels. Also on Monday, Nagai told reporters that Shikoku Electric will postpone its plan to appeal an injunction issued by a high court this month. The court ordered the suspension of the Ikata plant's number 3 reactor.
The U.S. Navy has sailed a warship through disputed waters in the South China Sea to challenge China's unilateral claim of sovereignty in the area. The Navy's 7th Fleet told NHK that the USS Montgomery conducted what it calls a freedom of navigation operation on Saturday in the vicinity of the Spratly Islands. The Philippines, Vietnam, 3 other countries, and Taiwan claim sovereignty over the islands. The U.S. Department of Defense is alarmed by China's military buildup in the area. China has deployed anti-ship missiles and electronic jammers there. 7th Fleet spokesperson Joseph Cayley said the following: "The United States will fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows, regardless of the location of excessive maritime claims." The last time the U.S. military revealed that it had conducted such an operation was in November. It is stepping up the pace of warship deployments to the South China Sea. It has also deployed Navy drones in Guam to better monitor the Chinese military.
Authorities in mainland China say 170 people have died after contracting the new coronavirus. The number of confirmed infections has topped 7,700. As the outbreak grows, scientists are racing to learn more about the virus. A Chinese research institute says it may have originated in bats. The Wuhan Institute of Virology reported the results of its analysis online. It says the gene sequence is 96% identical to that of a bat virus. The head of a team of government medical experts echoed that finding. He told state media the new coronavirus has the same origin as a virus found in bats 3 years ago. He said, like SARS, it may have been transmitted to humans via other wild animals. Tests are being carried out to determine if that's the case. In Australia, a team of scientists has also announced they've managed to grow the virus in a breakthrough that could help develop a vaccine. Now, outside mainland China, the number of cases is rising. There are now more than 100 confirmed infections across 19 countries and territories. Finland announced its first case on Wednesday. Instances of human-to-human transmission are suspected in Vietnam, Taiwan, Japan, and Germany. A number of countries are working to evacuate their citizens from the ground zero city of Wuhan. Australia says its evacuees will be quarantined on Christmas Island for up to 14 days. The UK says its returnees will live in supported isolation for a similar period of time.
The British government has decided to allow Chinese tech giant Huawei to play a limited role in its next generation 5G mobile network. The decision is a snub to the United States, which had been urging its allies to ban the use of Huawei equipment for security reasons. Ministers and government officials made the decision at a meeting of the National Security Council on Tuesday. They say the use of Huawei equipment is limited and it will be banned from sensitive areas such as nuclear facilities or military bases. The government says that by strictly limiting the use, threats such as cyber attacks can be prevented. Huawei's products are reportedly highly competitive in terms of technology and cost, and are already used in the UK's telecommunications network. These factors are believed to be behind the recent decision. A senior U.S. government official told NHK that Washington is disappointed by the decision and will continue to discuss the issue with Britain. The UK will leave the European Union on January 31st, and the country hopes to agree to a free trade deal with the U.S. Some experts believe that the Huawei decision could be a factor in their trade negotiations.
Rockets reportedly landed on the compound of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad on Sunday night. Local media say the attack caused damage to the embassy building. Details are not yet known. They say several rockets were fired at the capital's heavily guarded green zone. Iraq's interim Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi released a statement condemning the attack. He said he has ordered a probe to prevent a recurrence and detain those who are responsible. He added that such attacks could drag Iraq into war. A series of attacks have targeted U.S.-related facilities in Iraq in an apparent retaliation for the U.S. killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad early this month. A U.S. State Department spokesperson released a statement that did not directly comment on the reported damage to the embassy. It said there have been over 14 attacks by Iran and Iranian-supported militias on U.S. personnel in Iraq since September. The spokesperson said the security situation remains tense and Iranian-backed armed groups remain a threat, and called on the Iraqi government to fulfill its obligations to support U.S. diplomatic facilities.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan, heard from 9 to 9:30 p.m. at 6155-7410 or 9860, and on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announce are for Pacific Standard Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. Next, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. Large anti-government protests continue in Baghdad. The European Parliament approved Brexit, the UK withdrawal from the European Union, this Friday. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Fresh clashes have erupted between security forces and protesters in the Iraqi capital Baghdad. At one stage, police used tear gas to break up a crowd and were seen beating up one protester. More than 450 people have been killed in anti-government demonstrations in Iraq since October.
Well, after years of wrangling and stalemate, you may have thought that it would never happen, but today it did. The European Parliament approved legislation allowing Britain to leave the European Union beginning this Friday. While most lawmakers expressed their regrets, one prominent Brexiteer did not hide his satisfaction.
The final vote. After nearly 4 years, European lawmakers overwhelmingly back Brexit happening this coming Friday. For the architects of the UK's departure from the EU, it can't come soon enough.
I mean, what's not to like? I know you're going to miss us. I know you want to ban our national flags, but we're going to wave you goodbye. and will look forward in the future to working with you as sovereign.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off. Could we please remove the flags?
It's all over. Finished.
But not all of the British MEPs in the chamber are happy to be leaving.
I hold in my heart the knowledge that one day I will be back in this chamber celebrating our return to the heart of Europe. Thank you.
On what was a sad day for many who oppose Brexit, the European Commission President reiterated that the UK-EU relationship is far from over.
I want to use the words of the famous British poet George Eliot. She said, "Only in the agony of parting do we look into the depth of love. We will always love you and we will never be far. Long live Europe."
An emotional day in the European Parliament before Brexit comes into force. That and the beginning of a transition period with the many more negotiations that lie ahead.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. On to Spanish National Radio. Allison Hughes reports on Trump's so-called Middle East peace plan. At the announcement in Washington with indicted Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israeli lobbyists, no Palestinians were present. The U.S. gives unilateral recognition of Israeli sovereignty over large areas of the occupied Palestinian territory and East Jerusalem. The Palestinian president denounced the Trump plan to invest $50 billion into developing the area. In many countries around the world, people protested the so-called Deal of the Century in front of U.S. embassies. Radio Exterior de España or Spanish National Radio.
U.S. President Donald Trump has once again trampled international law in the presentation of his so-called Middle East peace plan in Washington on Tuesday before a group of Israeli delegates, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and U.S.-Israeli lobbyists. No Palestinians were present. The plan, biased in favor of Israel, includes the U.S. unilateral recognition of Israeli sovereignty over large parts of the occupied Palestinian territories, both in the Jordan Valley and in other areas of the West Bank.
And the United States will recognize Israeli sovereignty over the territory that my vision provides to be part of the State of Israel. Very important.
Trump's plan also claims all of Jerusalem, including Palestinian East Jerusalem annexed by Israel, will remain under Israeli control. That announcement drew the longest applause from the audience in Washington, D.C.
Under this vision, Jerusalem will remain Israel's undivided, very important, undivided capital. But that's no big deal, because I've already done that for you, right? We've already done that, but that's okay. It's going to remain that way.
It was precisely because Trump already gave the Israelis Jerusalem when he moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv some 2 years ago that the Palestinian Authority withdrew from any talks on this so-called peace plan. The United States also cut more than $60 million in funding for Palestinian security last year after it had ended all of its contributions to UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees. The Trump administration also ended all U.S. funding for UNRWA. According to the Palestinian Authority, it was foreseeable from that moment that Trump would be working on a plan to give Israel everything it wanted, regardless of international law. The BBC provided footage of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response.
For too long, far too long, the very heart of the land of Israel, where our patriarchs prayed, our prophets preached, and our kings ruled, has been outrageously branded as illegally occupied territory. Well, today, Mr. President, you are puncturing this big lie.
And many in the international community do consider Israeli settlements illegal under international law.
The BBC commentator was referring not only to those countries who honour the UN Security Council resolutions 242 and 338, calling for Israel to withdraw from the territories it won in the 1967 war, but also to the Fourth Geneva Convention that declares it unlawful for an occupying power to transfer parts of its own population into the territory that it occupies. This means that international humanitarian law prohibits the establishment of settlements, as these are a form of population transfer into occupied territory. There are also regulations for the humane treatment of those people living under occupation detailed under the Geneva Convention, which Israel flouts. While Donald Trump referred to a vision of two states, in practice, any Palestinian state would be inviolable under the planned territorial design.
My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides, a realistic two-state solution that resolves the risk of Palestinian statehood to Israel's security.
This possible state would depend on a future in which certain strict conditions are met. These include requiring the future Palestinian state to be demilitarized, while formalizing Israeli sovereignty over settlements built in the occupied territory. Trump also threatens the Palestinians, saying this may be their last opportunity.
I want this deal to be a great deal for the Palestinians. It has to be. Today's agreement is a historic opportunity for the Palestinians to finally achieve an independent state of their very own. After 70 years of little progress, this could be the last opportunity they will ever have.
In all, this so-called agreement, to which no Palestinian group is a party, is designed to the interests of Netanyahu's Israel.
Exceptional peace plan, Mr. President.
And our alliance with the State of Israel has never, ever been stronger than it is today.
U.S. President Donald Trump decided to make public his so-called Middle East peace deal the same week in which both he and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu face coming elections and prosecution. Trump in an impeachment case for high crimes and misdemeanors, while Netanyahu has been formally indicted on three criminal charges of corruption, bribery, and breach of trust after he dropped a bid for immunity that the Israeli parliament or Knesset would reject. U.S. President Donald Trump also addressed the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, on Tuesday with the promise of funds.
President Abbas, I want you to know that if you choose the path to peace, America and many other countries, we will be there. We will be there to help you in so many different ways, and we will be there every step of the way. We will be there to help. We'll deliver massive commercial investment of $50 billion into the new Palestinian state. You have many, many countries that want to partake in this.
Mahmoud Abbas answered Mr. Trump's offer.
I say to Trump and Netanyahu, Jerusalem is not for sale. All our rights are not for sale and are not for bargain. And your deal, the conspiracy, will not pass.
On Wednesday, Israel's defense minister, Naftali Bennett, announced he was prepared to start the process of applying Israeli sovereignty on nearly a third of the occupied West Bank. The defense minister praised President Trump's proposal for agreeing to let Israel maintain control of its West Bank settlements. Bennett said Israel had been given the green light to start applying its laws on, quote, all the territory President Trump is willing. He said that accounts for about 30% of the West Bank. The defense minister said he had given orders to form a special team within Israel's security establishment to, quote, implement the application of Israeli law and sovereignty on all Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank. He also said the Israeli government will not recognize a Palestinian state. And on Wednesday evening in Madrid, as in other cities around the country and the world, a concentration has been called in front of the U.S. Embassy to protest against the so-called deal of the century under the banner, Palestine is not for sale. European countries have given a lukewarm response to the deal accorded between Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Trump, with many joining Germany's foreign minister in saying, only a negotiated two-state solution acceptable to both sides can lead to a lasting peace between Israelis and Palestinians. The German foreign minister, Heiko Maas, made the statement after a ceremony marking the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi death camp Auschwitz.
That report by Allison Hughes was from Radio Exterior de España, or Spanish National Radio. Spain may be heard at their website rtve.es and by podcast as REE. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Almost all of the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. In fact, of the more than 100 radio stations rebroadcasting the show this year, only one, WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, helped to finance it. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support it. Through PayPal, you can create a monthly subscription to help cover my expenses. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. Former President Lula da Silva said the fight to regain democracy in Brazil must continue. Code Pink has gathered more than 10,000 U.S. signatures for an open letter apologizing to the Iranian nation for Washington's aggression. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has moved the doomsday clock the closest to midnight it has ever been since its creation in 1947. The earthquake between Cuba and Jamaica was the strongest ever recorded in the region, but did not cause notable damage in either country. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The former president of Brazil, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, said that we must continue to fight to regain democracy in his country. During an interview with the Argentinian newspaper Página 12, Lula criticized the judicial process against him that was promoted by the prosecutor of the Lavo Jato case, Sergio Moro. The former president called the Minister of Justice Moro a liar and challenged him to show some evidence against him. Lula declared that President Bolsonaro and Moro suffered a political setback when he regained freedom. He does not rule out being imprisoned again using some legal pretext. The former president said that at the beginning of March, he is preparing to tour the country, campaigning for the municipal elections in October. Lula said that for me to be a candidate for president, there would have to be an irreversible situation, indicating that I would be the only person capable of winning, capable of defeating the right. But we will work to find people younger than me and with more physical vigor to make Brazil better. A U.S. peace advocacy group has collected more than 10,000 signatures for an open letter apologizing to the Iranian nation for Washington's aggression, particularly President Donald Trump's reckless decision to order the assassination of senior Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. As Americans committed to peace and the safety of all people, we, the undersigned, apologize for the actions of a reckless, hate-filled president. The letter by Code Pink reads, "The activists promise to do everything we can to stop Trump's aggression, remove the crippling sanctions you are suffering under, and resume a process of diplomacy with your country. The American people do not want a war with Iran. We want to live in peace and harmony. Please accept our hand in friendship. May the peacemakers prevail over those who show hatred and discord." The Peace Advocacy Group is sending the letter, both in English and Farsi, and a video version to the Iranian press.
The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists has advanced the doomsday clock 20 seconds closer to midnight. The clock is a symbolic timekeeper that tracks the likelihood of nuclear war and other existential threats. It now stands closer to catastrophe than at any time since its creation in 1947. Mary Robinson, former Irish president and former UN human rights chief, said, "The doomsday clock is a globally recognized indicator of the vulnerability of our existence. It's a striking metaphor for the precarious state of the world, but most frighteningly, it's a metaphor backed by rigorous scientific scrutiny. This is no mere analogy. We are now 100 seconds to midnight, and the world needs to wake up. Our planet faces two simultaneous existential threats, the climate crisis and nuclear weapons." The bulletin of the atomic scientist blasted U.S. President Donald Trump for withdrawing the United States from the Cold War-era intermediate-range nuclear forces agreement and is calling on Washington to renew the New START treaty before it expires in 2021. New START limits the number of nuclear weapons deployed by the U.S. and Russia.
The National Center of Seismological Research, CENAIS, described the earthquake of magnitude 7.1 on the Richter scale, which occurred at 14 hours and 10 minutes Tuesday, as the strongest registered in the history of the Cuban Seismological Service. The president of the Scientific Council of the Center told Granma newspaper that since the creation of seismological stations in the country in 1964, this seismic movement had only been preceded in magnitude by one of 6.9 that occurred in 1991 in the same area. Tuesday's quake was perceptible throughout the country. It occurred about 125 kilometers southwest of Cabo Cruz and 145 kilometers southwest of Niquero in Granma province, with its epicenter located at the sea depth of about 20 kilometers. Moreno added that it was powerful but deep in the sea and very far away, both from Cuba and Jamaica, where it was also felt considerably. There are reports of perceptibility throughout Cuba. There have been no reports thus far of lives lost or injuries sustained, nor material damages.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website, radiohc.cu, and most of their podcast links were updated. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's simpler than you might think, except that there is interference from electronic devices, which put a lot of noise onto the shortwave signal. If you use the internet, listening globally is even easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at the website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 23rd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.